Skinny fries.
What's up, bud?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I am good, my man. How are you doing?
I am amazing. Welcome back to the pod, episode 3. Are you excited?
I am. You know, I got a new camera. Not a new camera, but a current camera repurposed as a web camera, so it's a new camera. Got some mood lighting in the background.
You do? Yeah, we're going to work on lighting.
Yeah, that's okay. I have a full shirt on. You have a full shirt on.
Once we get to like 90 downloads, we'll work on lighting, okay? In our mega studio. Can we build a studio?
Well, yeah. So once we get a Patreon set up and we get like $2 donated, we'll just go be stupid and rent a local space. And
sounds really just like us, actually.
Yeah.
I have almost made a dollar. Let's spend $1,000.
That's right. I mean, hey, we're on our way.
I am back in the old studio. I'm excited about this because I used a different microphone last week to make our two episodes. And boy, did that thing sound terrible.
It sounded like we're doing it in home offices and it's COVID, just minus the COVID part.
Okay, here's the lesson I hope people take from that. This goes for your camera. This goes for your headphones, your water bottle, and microphones. You can use a $50 microphone. It will work. When you buy a really nice one and you insulate the room really well, it sounds radically different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend money on the right things in the right ways, they work better. You and I both spent on a setup that we would have both sold 3 months ago if you let us. And I'm really glad that we didn't right now.
Agreed. Yes, agreed. Absolutely.
That's the T.
Yeah. So, I think this is your week. Your turn to ask the question. So
yeah.
What am I talking about today?
Well, I've been thinking about it. So I looked at my New Year's resolutions. You know, I do the body being balanced business, right? We talked about this on our former podcast. I mean, however you want to refer to that thing we used to do. And I was going back through the last 4 years and I had the same goal in the body section for 4 years in a row. And it was two surgeries that I needed to complete. And I did them both this year. I did them both back to back within 3 weeks of each other. But it took me 4.5 years. And I could blame COVID all I want, but that was not COVID's fault. Like, I genuinely didn't want to do it. And so I've been thinking, Amir, what's the skinny on why men hate doctors?
Wait, you hate doctors? I hate doctors too, actually. But you recently went to the doctor. So first of all, proud of you for that. I went to a doctor last year as well. Proud of myself. I actually went to two doctors last year.
Yeah. We had a very similar surgery actually in different places in our body.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a really good question. I do not like going to the doctors. And I guess we've never really had this conversation, you and I. I know you just recently went, and it's on your resolution list. I don't know if, do you like going to doctors?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I don't enjoy it, and I don't look forward to it, and my blood pressure gets really high when I go. So the answer is no.
Okay. Well, I don't either, but I'm thinking it might be for different reasons. So I did a little bit of research on this, and let me talk to you about kind of the stuff that I found first, the stuff that I learned I want to share with everybody, and then we'll circle back and talk about me and you, and if the real reasons neither of us like to go line up with any of these, okay? So I was doing some research and I came across some studies done by the Cleveland Clinic, and they've been doing like an annual study for the past few years on specifically why men hate going to doctors. And so I want to start off with some statistics that when I read them, they were kind of mind-blowing. 65% of men hold off as long as possible before seeing a doctor. 72% of men would rather do household chores than actually go to a doctor. When they do go to doctors, 20% of them aren't always honest with the doctors about what's going on, and 37% withhold information, so they're not completely forthcoming about what's going on. So those are some pretty interesting stats. Like the household chores one, I think is kind of silly. I don't mind doing household chores.
You actually like household chores. I disagree that that's even a problem.
But I would definitely rather do household chores than go to a doctor. Okay, so,
agreed.
And this isn't just like a recent phenomenon thing. This is a real thing, and it's so real, in fact, that there are business models built around the fact that men don't like going to doctors. The most popular one, at least to me, the one when I was looking through this that resonates the most with me, is a company called Hims. Now, there's a Hers, but Hims is where it started, and Hims is an online, essential, like, doctor, more or less, where men can get anything from hair growth to erectile dysfunction medicine without ever actually going to a doctor.
Okay, but wait a minute. I've seen this Hims thing. That's just Viagra by the mail, right? I mean, it's nothing to do medically with anything else. It's the embarrassing medicine, right?
That's right, but I mean, they do more than just that, right? So if you have thinning hair, you can do Hims. If you have, you know, whatever, but it's not just Hims. So there's other companies. So there's a company called Lemonade that does general care stuff. So anything from like acne treatment to anxiety and depression medicine is online.
Sure.
There's a company called Cove, which specializes specifically in migraine treatment. And then there's, you know, Wisp, which is another one. Now, Wisp is kind of a unique one. They deal specifically with STDs, UTIs, infections, you know, more like sexual reproductive organ type topics. But these are typically things that you would go to a doctor for. And now there are multi-million or even billion-dollar companies built around the fact that people don't necessarily like going to doctors. Now, sure, you could say they came about because of COVID, people weren't leaving the house, et cetera, et cetera. And that's true. But a big percentage of their clients, especially the male clients, use these instead of actually going to doctors. It's that big of a thing. So it was just really interesting to see those. I mean, I think as men, it's one of those things, like men in general don't really talk about our health to one another, you know, let alone to a doctor or a stranger or anybody. I mean, we're far more reserved in that than women are. And it was kind of fun to research this and also really educational to research this and see that it's, you know, I'm not alone in this, right? But there are, you know, there are specific reasons why men don't like to go to doctors. And it's kind of like three main categories that I came across. So the first one is that we just don't think we need to, right? Long story short, whatever's wrong with us, it'll just get better on its own. If we don't go, it's fine. It will heal. We're good. And I think you and I have both in the past and currently could think of things within ourselves right now that we could probably say, you know what? I'm in that boat right now, right? It'll be fine. Another main reason is this thing called superhero syndrome, right? Where we're men. We're strong. We're exactly, you know, like, I'm good. I got this. I'm a man. No stress. Nothing can hurt me. And the third one is a combination of fear and vulnerability. So from a vulnerability perspective, I think it's a pretty fair statement to say that most men do not like feeling vulnerable. Like it's a challenge for men. And maybe it ties back to the superhero syndrome or the social and, you know, stigma of being a man and what that means, or historically what that's meant. But there's also the fear aspect, right? Men are afraid of going to a doctor and getting a bad diagnosis or having a bad outcome or having to essentially come face to face with the thing that you fear the most. And we just try to avoid it.
Yeah, so, I think that part is the part that I resonate the most with, which is, you know, going to the doctor has an implication of dealing with your mortality. And I think any time that you have to wrestle with your life on this earth coming to an end, that induces stress and it induces fear and it makes you want to avoid it. So I agree with you. I think that's where I am for sure.
Yeah. So me too, to an extent, right? I do have a belief that, not necessarily myself, but I have this belief that when you find out something is wrong with you, whatever that something is tends to accelerate really quickly, right? You hear a lot about these stories about people who, for example, get diagnosed with cancer. And from the moment they find out that they're diagnosed till the day they pass, that time period goes by super quick. It's like weeks. But they've been going forever long, however that long is, with, you know, dealing with this cancer, and they're fine. So it's like, I do believe there's a connection between mental strength and physical strength, and that news could lead to a crack in the armor, so to speak, and it all falls apart. But of course, the other side of that is, well, you don't know. Maybe if they never went, they still would have died in 3 weeks or a month. You just don't know, right? So there's that dichotomy there that's interesting. But the other part of this is, not only do we not go to doctors for you know, those mainly those three reasons or whatever reasons, but when we do go, we're not forthcoming. we're embarrassed to talk about the things that are wrong with us. We feel that like we can handle it, so there's no reason to share it.
Sure.
Right. Now that may not be the case for like a, you know, a sore elbow, but it could be the case for many other ailments and reasons. And these lead to a lot of very dangerous things for men. You know, the biggest thing is that like the biggest risk of not going is early detection, or, you know, something that's known as silent syndrome. You know, a lot of people who are pre-diabetic never get treated, and then it becomes something much more severe. For men specifically, prostate cancer is a real thing as you get older in life. And if you don't go to doctors, you don't get those regular checkups, you never know if there's something, you know, dangerous happening in your body. And if it's too late, then that leads to a much, much bigger, you know, bigger thing. And, you know, every man will have prostate cancer. The difference with men is, do we die before we get it, or do we get it before we die? It's just a thing. So you have to, you know, you have to make sure that you're ahead of that. And of course, there's a lot of other chronic illnesses and stuff that if not treated, if they prolong long enough, they could become dangerous things. So it's just like, we know what's going to happen. We know the risk of not going, of not being forthcoming with the things that are wrong with us. You know, I think you and I both have loving wives and families that encourage us to go, but we still don't.
Yeah,
we just don't. So for me, you know, I had my first quote unquote surgery last year. I had a lipoma on my arm. So never had a surgery in my life, never had stitches in my life. Go to the doctor. They do some x-rays. They schedule me to go back and have it removed. So I go there. They cut me open to Gesundheit. They cut me open to, that won't make any sense on the podcast. So it makes sense.
No, I've needed it both ways, but now they know.
They cut me open to remove it, and they look at it and they're like, you know what? We can't remove it. So they sewed me back up. So my first ever surgery was, you know, for nothing. And then finally I went back to another doctor and got it cut out. But instances like that frustrate me, right? A few years ago, I remember when I was in Alabama, living in Alabama, I had some pain in my elbow. I go to this doctor who had got really good reviews, been practicing for like 30 years, and his solution was just try not to use your arm as much. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I know that. You're a doctor. This is why I don't go to doctors. If your solution is don't use your arm, I could figure that out. I don't need a medical degree to know that. So I think it's more of, you know, we try to find excuses not to go. I definitely would say that I have this superhero syndrome and this belief that I don't need to. I'll figure it out. A lot of people just WebMD stuff now because, you know, their Google search is as valuable as that, you know, 12 years of medical school. Worse,
they're probably asking ChatGTP to tell them if they're well, which is great. Great. Yeah, ask a bot that's wrong most of the time to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what about you? Like, what would you say? I know you talked about a little bit, but tell me about like your reasoning, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lot different. I was listening to a really great podcast with Peter Attia. His new book's out, Outlive, that just launched on Tuesday. And he was on Andrew Huberman's podcast, and they were discussing some of the things that you were talking about, early detection, right? We're talking about like a multifold increase in colorectal cancers in our generation, right? For people of our age. And now they're recommending screening at 40 years old, not 45, not 50, not 55, 40. And one of the things that he said, and I think it hit really hard for me, and you referenced it, the prostate cancer, you know, his way of describing that is everyone will die with prostate cancer and some people will die of prostate cancer. And when you look at some of the cancers, so we're talking about colon cancer and prostate cancer, these are ones that with early detection, the 5-year and 10-year mortality rates are very survivable. And then there's some cancers that the survival rates are terrible, right? You get pancreatic cancer. But his point was that colon cancer found at stage 1, you have an almost certainty of surviving. But colon cancer found at stage 4, which means you didn't go get tested, you're almost certainly, well, actually, he said it very plainly, that the 5-year survival rates are almost zero and the 10-year survival rates are zero. And so, you know, it's a reminder that why all that stuff is real and those fears and those doubts, you just as a human have to get over it. Or you have to sign up to say, well, then I'm dead at 50. I'm dead at 55. Like, I'm going to take that risk. And I get it. Everyone does though. Well, my grandma drank 6 beers every day of her life and lived to be 200 years old, only eating the bacon fat from the jar. Like, yeah, I get it. Of course, there's always someone that survives around that. But right. You can't argue with big data science. And, you know, that for me was a really informative podcast in that way. And it was really interesting. I think he talked about, you know, Andrew asked him, did you listen to this podcast? You know what I'm talking about?
I know I haven't listened to that episode yet, but I know what you're talking about.
I mean, it's 3.5 hours. I don't blame you. Yeah. It's really good. But at one point, Huberman says, okay, so like, but like, what would you tell everyone to do? Like, you can't get to everyone individually. What are like the basics? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, first of all, don't smoke. This is the number one cause of cardiovascular and cancer related death. Don't smoke. Number two, don't be obese. Like, you have to find a way to not do that. Three, drink in moderation. Don't recommend you do it at all. As a doctor, I'm telling you, don't do it. He's like, but I'm a doctor and I do it. Just telling you, no more than 2 drinks, and don't do that more than twice a week. And after that, yeah, working out, get early tested, like all those things matter, but you got to take care of these basic functions to be well. And for me, going on 40 this year, it was that, like, yeah, I don't get to say I'm young anymore. I don't have to go. Like, mm-hmm. I have to go at 40 and probably do a colonoscopy and an endoscopy and start doing some of the stuff that will make a difference in my life to keep me around for a long time, because I want both health span and lifespan. That's the only way that's going to happen. So, you know, they're bullshit excuses. And I think we over-index on it's a male trait. It is a male trait, but that's because our gender's dumb. It's a thing we need to get better at, and we need to talk about it more with young people. We need to encourage that doctors are helpful, and we need to talk about what medicine is, because that thing you said about your elbow, I know it's frustrating, but if you were 10 years old and someone explained that that is sometimes what you're going to hear, and that's not bad, because doctors aren't superheroes. They don't, you know, walk in and they run a test and they know everything. They go least invasive to most invasive, right? So that is medicine. It's just a different type of rest is medicine. Rest is helpful. Like, it's an interesting one, because, you know, we're built up on this world of like, doctors are bad and you're going to get a shot. So eat an apple so you can stay away from them. And I think that's a thing we have to undo in our next generation is, nope, taking care of your health and getting checked out and making sure you're okay and doing regular screenings. These are helpful tools to keep you safe.
Yep. Basically, we just need to man up. And I guess that's a skinny on why people don't like going to doctors, or why men don't like going to doctors.